Here in just a couple of minutes, we will be joined by congressional candidate Laverne Spicer. She has run before in District 24 in Florida. You may be familiar with her competitor, Frederica Wilson. If you're not familiar with the name, you'll probably remember the hats, because after about a decade in Congress, that's pretty much her only claim to fame, is that she wears really cool hats. And I will admit, they are very, very cool hats. But what has she done for the people in District 24? This is a very blue district, so a lot of people will say that Laverne Spicer doesn't have much of a chance. But here's the thing. Her predecessor, as far as running as a Republican, the last person to challenge her as a Republican, had 15,000 votes. While in 2020, Laverne Spicer had nearly 60,000 votes. The earth is shaking for Laverne Spicer. So she will be coming up here shortly, and we'll discuss her prospects. But before we get to that, I wanted to make a brief announcement. You know, we've been doing this podcasting. We've been doing this show for about 11 months now. Actually, just over 11 months. And it's been a blast. We've learned a lot, and we do take a lot of feedback from people. One of the things that people have been asking for is, instead of doing multiple segments as we've done in the past and combining them into one show that's 50 minutes, an hour, hour and 20 minutes, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, that we need to shorten it, and we need to just go with, take each segment, and that's a show, even if that means doing multiple shows a day. So we heard you, we're listening, and we're going to be doing that. Every episode of the Knock Report going forward will be a standalone. In other words, there won't be multiple topics discussed. It's not that we're going to stay laser focused. We'll talk about many things, but as far as the topic at hand, we are going to stay focused. And that way, our listeners and our viewers will be able to see a focus on that one topic. Now, that might mean some days we put out, you know, one show, other days we might put out 4 or even 5 shows. But it also means that these interviews are not going to be jammed into another series. That's also unfair to the interviewees. So Laverne will be our first one who gets to have a standalone interview on the Knock Report. We are very excited about that. If you have subscribed to us on other shows, such as Conservative News Briefs, Noncompliant America, Conservative Playbook, we are going to be taking those, not taking them down, but putting them on hold. We need people, podcasters, willing to join the Freedom First Network and willing to take over those shows, because frankly, I can't do it all. If we're going to be splitting this up into multiple episodes per day, I can't also run 5 other podcasts. I know it's crazy, but like I always say, this is what we do for a living. This isn't a hobby. We're not just having fun out here. We're actually trying to inform America and inform the world about conservative and Christian principles that can help us get through these turbulent times. So, very exciting announcements. Let us, running. it's about time for Mrs. Laverne Spicer to come onto the Knock Report and talk about Congressional District 24 and how she's going to beat Frederica Wilson in 2022. Stay tuned. Our next guest is a GOP contender who is trying to oust Frederica Wilson in Florida's Miami area. It's Florida District 24. She has experience as a business owner, as well as a humanitarian and someone who actually works within her community. I know that's hard to find nowadays in politics, but her story and what she's been able to do within her community has been absolutely fantastic. It's a self-funded project as well, and we're very pleased, blessed, and honored to have Laverne Spicer join us today. Laverne, how are you doing today?
I am doing quite well, JD, and thank you for inviting me on.
Well, thank you for reaching out on Twitter. You know, it's funny because I always get annoyed with, you know, we have these candidates out there, and they go and they throw out all these big promises and everything like that. And yet I reach out to them and say, hey, you know, come on in, come on over to our show and let's see what we can do. And then I never hear back from them. Yeah, you did reply back, and that's wonderful. And it's a good sign, because I don't know if you were aware, but we were the very first show back in, gosh, now it's been over 2 years ago. We had Lauren Boebert, who's now a congresswoman. At the time, nobody had heard of her.
Of course. She's fighter. She's a powerhouse.
She is. And we had her. We were the first show to have her on nationwide. And then we had, we had Burgess Owens. He was already very well known, of course. We had Tommy Tuberville, and we had Marjorie Taylor Greene. And there was one other, my goodness, we had a track record. We had we were like 5 for 7 as far as our interviews before the last election. So hopefully
this is a winning streak, and I want to follow,
absolutely,
that group right there, fighters. I want to follow them, and I think Margie is doing a great job, and Lauren is doing a great job, because we all, we're getting a lot of hate mail, we're getting a lot of backlash for speaking out against the injustices and speaking out and fighting for what we believe in. So hats off to those two.
Well, you are facing a very tough race against Frederica Wilson. She's been in that seat for 1,000 years. That district, most people that have run against her have only been able to get 5, 10, 15,000 votes, but you've ran against her before. How many votes did you get last election?
I received over 60,000 votes, over 60,000 votes.
So we are getting close.
Yeah, that was very good, considering that I am in a predominantly blue district. So that was very well for the first time, because I got more votes than anyone that ever ran against Frederica.
That's amazing. Well, hopefully in this coming election in 2022, we will see you get more of the same. Now, your experience is you're not a politician. You have been a business owner, you've been helping the community every way you can. Tell us about that. Tell us about Curly and the legacy that you have continued on all these years.
Okay. Well, her name is Cousin King, and she was my mentor. She was my mother, friend, everything. And she meant everything to our community, because she was a pioneer beautician, but she always helped people that were less fortunate. She always helped people that was in need. She was like the type of person that people could come and talk to about their problems that were going on in their home, and people just loved her in general. So after she died, we continued her legacy of giving to the community through our program, Curly's House of Style, which is a food bank. And really, we provide wraparound services. And that means that we help people if they're looking for food, if we help them with shelter. We're a community. We're like a one-stop community resource shop. So if they need dollars to pay their light bill, we can help them go in the right direction for that. For shelters, we walk them through the 1-800 process for finding a homeless shelter to live in, if any are available. But that's basically what we do. We help everybody that's in need. When I first started, our community was like 100% African American. But now it's maybe like 60% African American. So the dynamics of this community is rapidly changing. And with that, so is people mindsets. Because in my community, most people, we mainly see like our politicians, of course, when they need our votes, especially all our elected officials for this community are Democrats. We see them when they need our votes. We see them when they're making promises. But once they get elected, we see no changes in our community. It's basically looked the same for over 40 years, So right now, what I want to do is start changing people's mindsets, let them know, stop being used, stop allowing the Democratic Party to use you as a token. because what we are seeing now is that they are catering, just like they always have, to the illegal immigrants. Biden basically put a $84 million for the illegals to have a place to stay. But what about the veterans that have spent their life fighting in wars? And then they come home, and a lot of them are homeless in the streets with nowhere to go. And what I'm saying, what about the American citizens? Let's take care of home first. Let's take care of that homeless population. Let's get them back as to being functioning members of society, more so than taking our taxpayer dollars to fund people that never worked a day in their life here in America. But yet you have seniors that receive $200 to $400 a month income, especially. I'm talking about my district, okay? A lot of them receive $200 to $400 a month income. With that, they have to choose how they're going to pay their rent, how they're going to pay their bills. That leaves absolutely no money for medications, because some of those prescriptions that they may need may cost $80 to $100 and up. In the case if it's cancer, it could be a drug that costs $1,500 or more a month that they need, but they can't afford that. They can't afford it. So let's help those that have poured into society. Let's help those that have helped to build this country first. Let's take care of home first before we start taking care of illegal immigrants. That's all I'm saying.
And that's very well said. Did you happen to see the images that were, they were just released this morning? Actually, I should say they were leaked this morning from the border facility, the migrant facility in Donna, Texas. Did you get a chance? I mean, it just happened.
No.
They just popped a little bit ago. It's devastating because, you know, it's sad to see what's happening. And it literally is people that have, you know, they've got these thermal, you know, the silver, it looks like aluminum foil, you know, those blankets anyway, it looks really bad. But the thing is that this tells us that whatever we think as far as how bad the numbers are, how bad it is with illegal immigration right now since Biden took office, whatever we think it is, it's actually much worse than that. The numbers are skyrocketing. And you're right. You mentioned the 80 something million dollars that they're using to house these people. We mentioned Lauren Boebert. Lauren Boebert had actually tweeted out, she did the math on it, and it comes out to, like, you know, where they're each getting, they're each
380 some dollars.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes. It's 380 something dollars for, I could not believe room. That blew me away. That blew me away. Is, like she said, have you ever stayed in? I've never stayed in a 300. I mean, I think I might have stayed in a I don't know, something close to that one time, but I didn't pay for it. You know, like a company put me there once, but you know, that blew me away. Now, your competitor, Frederica Wilson, for those who don't know, you know, she doesn't do a whole lot in DC. I think that her greatest claim to fame is that she wears these really cool hats, and I'll admit they are cool hats. They get a lot of attention, but that's kind of her brand has become, hey, look at me doing stuff that's outrageous. You know, don't look at my record. Don't look at my failures, and definitely don't look at what I've done in my district, because it isn't much. What are you planning to do differently from her as far as helping your district to prosper, to get better than it is today?
Well, I'm already helping my district, for one, you know, with the services that I am providing, and I am doing something for my district, unlike her. And I would like to see, as a business owner, I would like to see people in my district become more self-sufficient and become business owners, so therefore they can get off of government assistance and be able to support their families, take care of the kids, you know, have a home and live the American dream just like anybody else, you know. And also, I would like to fight for my rights, fight for the people's rights. I've always been the one to fight for the underdog. You know, even in going through elementary school, I was the kid that would fight the bullies. You know, that's me. So that's why I have no problem fighting for my community. I have no problem fighting for the people. And I have no problems with speaking my mind and saying exactly how I feel about things. You know, we need to protect our Constitution here in the United States of America. We need to be able to protect our First Amendment rights, the right to be able to freedom of speech, because right now that's under attack by the Democrats that want to be able to tell us what to say, how to protest. All of this is under attack right now. The Second Amendment rights, the right to bear arms, that's being attacked as well. You know, so those are the type of things that I want to fight for, as well as the police. Speaking of the police, you know, we can say whatever we want to say about them, good or bad, but the fact of the matter, in my district, we need the police. We need it because it's a high crime area, and it's nothing worse than calling the police and you have to wait 30 minutes for them to come there because they had to lay out so many people from their police place. So now when you call them, you have to wait, but you have an emergency. So nothing is worse than that. We need them. So I would fight for them. Also, I would fight for the military. You know, these are all things that Frederica does not support. She does not support the police department. She does not support the Second Amendment. She does not support our veterans. You know, so these are things that I would fight for. She does support the Black women that are in Africa that are missing. She supports them. But what about the 74,000 plus Black women that are missing right here in the United States that nobody ever mentions, you know? But I know right now they're talking about the 4,000 Asian elderly women that have been attacked, and that's very sad. It's really sad. But, you know, as a country, we need to come together and do better about our elderly people. And we need to do something about all these people that are missing.
Absolutely, we do. You know, and it's funny because you're making the clear case already, okay? This, the difference between you and your competitor are night and day. You're focused on the people. You're focused on America. It sounds very much like someone else who I've supported for office in your state, and that was Ron DeSantis. When he was a congressman, I would support his campaigns then, and when he ran for governor, I did that as well. If you had, let's say you had his ear, and you know, you're talking to him, you're advising him on stuff, is there anything that you would change? Has he been doing everything the way that he's supposed to be doing, or would you tell him to address other issues?
Yes, I think Ron DeSantis is doing a great job as governor, and I'm really proud of him for keeping Florida open and not closing Florida up, because right now you still have different states throughout the United States that are basically still on shutdown. But at least we are open here in Florida, thank God. We are able to, as business owners, we are able to operate our businesses. Maybe some may not be on like 100% capacity level, but still we are able to operate our business. So I'm very grateful to him for that, as well as many other things, such as for many licenses. And people may not know this, but he waived the fee. He waived those occupational fees for cosmetologists and many other people that are laborers. So for that, I could say thank you, Governor DeSantis, and keep up the great work with about fighting for the state of Florida. We support you greatly, you know, and I know that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is trying to find someone to run against Governor DeSantis. Good luck, Debbie, because we will support Governor DeSantis.
Yes, we will. And I do happen to live in one of those states that's still locked down. I have the exact opposite of Ron DeSantis. I am I'm in California, so I have Gavin Newsom. Wow. Yeah, I know. Oh, yes. Don't laugh at me. I live through it every day. Now, you are a part of the Liberty City Model Citizenry Advisory Board, and you're also you're also part of the Federation of Republican Women. These are organizations that are so important for our nation to be able to operate properly, especially going into, you know, this crazy time. But there have been talks of, I guess you could say, the need to unify all of us, all conservatives, all Republicans, anybody who believes in our rights. What can you say as far as what you would want to do in D.C. as far as being able to unite this nation behind the Republican principles and the conservative principles that we so desperately need?
Well, you know, one thing that I really feel is that now it's more like than ever before, you know, we as Republicans need to reunite and support each other because, you know, even with the case with President Trump, you know, everything just got chaotic with those votes and crazy, but still, we as Republicans, I feel like we should have stepped up more to the plate to help him and really push him more so than ever, because especially with communities of color, you know, and in the process of waking people up. I mean, yeah, we see a lot of that on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, we see a lot of it, you know, but more so in our communities. What about door to door? What about talking to these people and letting them know what's really taking place so that they can see the brighter picture and not just sit there and get deceived by the fake news media that paints the picture that is totally distorted, but they paint a picture of fear. You know, they sell the elderly community fear all day on the news, and they are liberal, very liberal views. So, you know, people have the tendency to believe what they see on tell lie vision.
So, I like that. I've never heard that before. That's really good.
That's what we call it, tell lie vision.
I love it.
Tell lie vision. So, you know, they believe that. So until they start really socializing with people that come with a totally different view, like someone like myself, because, you know, what happened for me was that I began to listen to President Trump, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute, he's telling the truth. Take a look at your community. Nothing has changed for the last 30 years, especially like Baltimore. When Kim showed that place, it looked like hell. Mm-hmm. And that place has been operated for 40 plus years by the Democratic leadership. So, you know, it was just the wake up thing, the fact of speaking the truth so that people can hear it, so that people can see it for themselves and help them to make an educated decision about who they want to support, you know? And I just felt like a lot of that was lacking for this voter period because, you know, I just felt like it should have been more support from the Republican Party.
Absolutely, 100%. Very well said. I have one more question for you. But before we get to that question, I want to know, how can people help? You know, I know you're on Twitter. Do you have a website? Is there a way that people can contribute? Are you looking for volunteers? Tell us everything that we need to do to be able to help your campaign, help you to take out Frederica Wilson.
Oh yes. I'm on Twitter. That is my main, social media. You know, even though you're on Twitter, you gotta be careful because they still try to ban you with certain, you know, freedom of speech. You're not allowed to really say certain things because Twitter, well, you know, as a matter of fact, Even with President Trump, they took him off of Twitter. But the rest of us, Republicans, especially the ones that are running for Congress, all of us got hit really hard by Twitter. They cut off a lot of our followers and the ones that we were following as well. I think they hit me with like over 10,000 followers. But you can follow me on Twitter, and you can also donate to my campaign. The link is on Twitter, or you can go to Vote Laverne Spicer for Congress.com, and you can donate to my campaign.
Perfect. And what is your Twitter handle?
At Laverne Spicer, my name.
Perfect. Just wanted to make
with
sure.
The at sign. Perfect, and if perfect. You would like to donate to Curly's House, my food bank, you can by going to curlyshousefoodbank.org.
You know, why not both, folks? Why not both? These are two good causes. Let's get Frederica Wilson out of there. Let's help those people, those Americans that are in need, okay? And that's the best way to do it. So my last question for you, Laverne, and this has been an absolutely amazing interview. I mean, I'll admit, going into this, you know, I do get to interview a lot of candidates. And whenever I interview those who are running against, you know, longtime Democrats, you know, in blue districts, I would say maybe most of the time, definitely over 50%, maybe as much as 60 or 70% of the time, they're just trying to be outrageous. They're just like, oh my gosh, you know, they're trying to get any attention they can, you know, and you could tell there's kind of, they haven't really done their research. They're not really, you know, it's almost like a sham campaign. Your campaign is clearly very real. You are very real, and you actually know exactly what you're talking about and exactly what your community needs. So that is very refreshing. We are definitely going to be rooting for you. I think I already know the answer to this final question based upon your earlier answer, but I always have to ask it, you know, and it is always the best final message to give to those considering voting for you. What do you consider to be the number one issue facing us right now that you will be able to address once you are sworn into Congress in January of 2023?
Wow, it's so many. It is so many issues. It is so many issues. One of them, illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, you know, that's a huge one. That's a huge one for me because, you know, these people come here illegally. They giving them a place to stay. They give them, they help them with jobs. I know for a fact they used to give them money to open up a business, at least $10,000 here in Florida to open up their own businesses. Years ago, they were doing that. But once again, what about the American citizens? Where's our piece of the American dream? Where's it at? Once again, Second Amendment rights, the right to bear arms, you know, the right, a lot of the rights in the Constitution. And also in the Constitution, some things may need to be changed a little, you know, because the time has changed. A lot of those things was written years ago. I know there is changes that have been done, but it's also changes that need to be made, you know, to continue to protect our rights as Americans, to continue to protect our freedom of speech and the fact that we are able to speak and say what we mean without fearing what type of retaliation am I going to get for saying this. You know, even the same thing on Twitter. You know, a lot of times I say things, or if I tweet something, then in my inbox, you know, I get called all the names from the coons to, oh, you a sellout, oh, you a Uncle Tom, oh, you a Sambo. Fine. That's fine. But the point of the matter is I will continue to fight. Continue to keep doing what I've been doing all of my life, basically. This is what they call in the churches, they call it the trench ministry. It's called the dirty work that nobody else wants to do. When you're working with people that really need it to the most, such as the population that I deal with. So I want to continue doing what I'm already doing, but be able to make laws, because some of those laws need to be changed, you know, to protect people. Like, case in point, you have the 1994 crime bill.
Mm-hmm. Joe Biden's bill.
Joe Biden's. Then you got the 1, 2, 3 strikes you out. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton, okay? So you have people still getting caught up in 2021 with these type of laws. You know, and some of these people are incarcerated. The third strike could have been stealing a can of food out of a grocery store. Now you locked up for the rest of your life for that. So once again, so it's a lot of changes that need to take place.
Absolutely.
And a lot of work that needs to be done.
Well, and we are very hopeful that you will be doing this work for us and for the people in your Florida District 24. Laverne Spicer, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And we do need to have you on again very soon, because I think your message is one that needs to be heard, and because it resonates. I think that you know, if there's one thing that we need as Republicans, like as you said, because with mainstream media, big tech, everybody seems to be against us. We need to be able to get the word out. And quite frankly, the National Republican Party has not been very good at it.
Nope.
So we're going to have to do it ourselves.
And neither has the GOP.
No, absolutely not. I mean, we're going to have to start getting the word out ourselves. That's really up to us. So we're going to help. And we are very hopeful that you, Laverne Spicer, will be able to defeat Frederica Wilson in 2022. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you so much, JD.